interesting. Right now, can you talk a little bit about how you make decisions in the first-line metastatic setting for clear cell and how you progress there in terms of second- and third-line therapy? And what are the specific factors you take into consideration in these decisions?
As you know, we get a lot of referrals for renal cell, although less so since people have been using the targeted therapies. But we still administer high-dose interleukin-2. And I still put that on the first-line plate for patients that, you know, seem to be the people who, in fact, are likely to respond. But also, with the cytokine working group, we are conducting a study of all comers that are eligible for high-dose interleukin-2. It's called SELECT, and we are looking at a number of pathology factors, immunohistochemistry, molecular, and immunological factors to try to predict prospectively and correlate with clinical outcome who are the people that respond to immunotherapy. Based on some of the CA9 data from UCLA and also from the Harvard system, Beth Israel, where CA9 seemed to be a predictor of response to IL-2. We're not using it to select patients yet. We're just treating everybody and then looking at all of these factors and hoping that we can identify people and then enrich the pool of people who would really benefit from that drug. Because as you know, there are some patients that have multiple year complete responses. So in terms of my own approach, I screen people for high-dose IL-2. I present it to them. We talk about that treatment. We talk about the targeted therapy. If I have a study open, I would rather put people on a clinical trial if it's at all possible. And, you know, go from there with first line. If somebody's got a problem that really needs tumor shrinkage right away, for example, an endobronchial tumor that's causing atelectasis or collapse, that person would probably do better with sunitinib because it's got a shrinkage rate that's higher than anybody else. And we just don't have a lot of information yet for first-line temsirolimus, although, you know, certainly the poor-risk patients, that would be a good choice. But, you know, that's just creeping into the clinic now, I would say.
Now, getting back to IL-2, you know, what I hear is that this is considered in, you know, younger patients in good condition, et cetera. Is that the way it plays out in your practice, or is it a wider net?
It's not an age-based net. It's a physiology-based net. I mean, my bias is that people that have lung-only disease and have good pulmonary and cardiac function have the best chance of responding. And so those are the people I tend to, you know, really try to encourage to do it. But I'm treating people into their late 60s, early 70s, mainly with fairly limited disease, but metastatic disease, of course.